Hey, welcome to Project Recovery, a podcast about addiction. More importantly, it's about recovery. I'm Casey Scott. That's Dr. Matt Woolley. And you know what they say, Dr. Matt?
What do they say?
Information is power.
Ooh, yeah.
So I
think
I
learned that on Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, a bill is just a bill on Capitol Hill.
That's the one.
But you've got some stuff that you brought that you want to talk about. This is going to be one of those episodes where we're not going to hear somebody's story.
Not a story episode, true.
This is one where you just kind of regale us with information
well,
that you gather.
That's all we talk.
Because what people don't realize is that Project Recovery for us is a passion.
Yes.
It's something that we enjoy doing.
Right.
We've both got other jobs.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because we got to pay the bills.
But this is something we do because I do it because it keeps me grounded and rooted in the recovery world. And it gives me an opportunity to give back to those who have given me so much. And you do it because you're a good friend of mine.
That is how we started. But I'll be honest with you. It's become a highlight of my week. It gives me something different to do. And I love it.
I always walk out from these recording sessions in a positive way. I always feel enlightened, and it was like
it's fun
because so many times we sit down and we hear people telling the stories of their life, and often that there's a rock bottom in there and some darkness and stuff that you go how do they come back? And then inevitably they come back, and not only that, they come back bigger, better, and stronger. And that's what's so amazing is that recovery will provide that to you if you give into it and you fight for it.
Oh, absolutely. Without fail, it ends on a high note because we have guests on this show that are doing great things and seeing how their life turns around, hearing sometimes the creative ways that they've gotten up Sober Mountain are inspiring to me and to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Since we don't have a guest, I'll be a little personal. I'll share the fact that today, this morning before coming into the show, I was dealing with somebody who was actively suicidal and trying to let me know, but not be willing to go get help.
Mm-hmm.
But just so you know, that puts somebody like me in a pretty powerless situation because I can't drive. Like, that's not, first of all, not appropriate or possible for me to drive around and find people and strong arm them into the hospital or something, right? Like, I can't do that. We can't do that. There are emergency services available. So some days, you know, it's worked out, by the way. The person eventually went to the emergency room and is getting some help. I'm waiting for updates on that right now. But to be honest with you, sometimes, like anybody, your job is stressful, right? You know, you get a little down or you get a little stressed out.
Let's be honest, it doesn't work.
And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And so I think that I enjoy and look forward to doing this show partly because no matter what else is going on in my life or my work life or my personal life, I get to come in here. I get to hang out with you. You're an optimist. You're an upbeat person. Get to be around Josh. He's young and sexy and cool. And so
he tells us what's hip.
Yep. And shows us what he wears, what we can't wear anymore. Right.
Josh dresses like the mannequin in the store. Like when you walk in the store.
The mannequin wishes.
But when you walk in there, you're like, that looks good on the mannequin, but it'll never look
right.
Like that on me.
I can't wear that.
That looks good on Josh.
That looks good on Josh. You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So Josh likes to show us up and, you know, make us remember days gone by. But our guests are such an important part of my week because I get a little high off of their high.
Mm-hmm.
And their high is a good, healthy high because they're in recovery. And it's just so fun. We've had some recent guests that are doing amazing things. Last week's guest, doing great stuff in our community. It's a lot of fun for me.
You know, lately a lot of people have been reaching out, and I know I say that every podcast, but it seems like more and more each week are trying to figure out what recovery looks like on them,
mm-hmm.
or if they should go into recovery, or do they have a problem. And I always tell people, I go, listen, it's not easy. And anybody who tells you that it's easy is lying to you.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
Is it worth it? 100%.
Yeah.
And that'll go back to another podcast we just did recently where resistance promote strength.
That's right.
And growth. And that's what it is. And so,
and pressure is a privilege.
Pressure is a privilege. And yeah. So it's those kind of things that make me want to come in and do this. But I also love when you bring the educational aspect to it.
Well, like you said, information is power, and I really believe that.
No, 100%.
Knowledge is power. When you, if you're willing, I think the biggest stumbling blocks we have as adults are when we stop learning,
mm-hmm.
when we just give in to things like emotions or opinions or what we wish was true.
Or ignorance or ego.
Yeah,
all of those things play into it.
So it's nice to at least, what do we know about things? So I brought in three bits of current knowledge. All of this research has come out in either this month or in the last 2 months. So it's very current stuff. And I'm gonna have you choose.
Okay.
Okay?
Sometimes
you make me choose stories. I'm going to make you choose. Do you want to hear about cancer risk and alcohol? Do you want to hear about, pot smokers and lung damage? Or marijuana use and is it good for chronic pain?
Ooh.
Where do we start?
The producer, Josh, says he wants to go with...
I didn't really give him an option to
pipe
in.
I know, but we're a team here.
Okay,
we're going to go with two and three, if you will.
All right, two and three. Okay, we're gonna hit them all. But let's start with buzzkill, lung damage looks worse in pot smokers.
Because the big thing is when people smoke pot...
It's organic, Casey.
Yeah, they go, it's organic, man.
It's good
don't
for
panic.
You.
So the thing is when you're smoking cigarettes, man, they put a lot of other stuff in there, man. And that's what's causing the cancer. And that's
right.
What's getting in there and mm-hmm. doing it. This stuff, it comes from the earth, man. Do not panic. It's organic.
If it rhymes, you know it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So recent research shows, actually, and I'll just read this, regular smokers of marijuana appear to be at greater risk for lung damage than other people who smoke tobacco alone.
I'm wondering if there's any truth to most cigarettes have filters.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's tobacco, then there's a filter, and you're sucking everything through the filter. And mm-hmm. supposedly the filter's, you know, catching all the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the purpose, or that's what they're saying to you.
Right.
Not that I've seen, but I'm not in that world. I don't know many marijuana joints that have filters.
I don't think they come with filters.
And I'm wondering if that plays into it, but
so
I don't know.
This study included people who are flame to flower, people who are actually smoking, versus this didn't include like vaping.
Uh-huh.
But this is whether you're using a bong or a joint or a pipe, you know, that kind of traditional smoking. And what they found was pretty interesting. That it may, so first of all, let me say emphysema, 93% of marijuana smokers in this study had emphysema.
Wow.
So that's
higher. A high percentage.
Well, yeah, 67% of just the tobacco smokers. So that's an increase of, you know, 30%. So that's
wow.
pretty significant. That's almost everybody in the study who smoked marijuana only had that. So it was a little tough. They had a hard time finding people that didn't smoke cigarettes and only smoked marijuana because there's a lot of crossover there. But of the people who just smoked marijuana, most of them, the vast majority, had emphysema, which is actually higher than tobacco. So the question was put to them, it's like, well, how could this be? Right? Because like tobacco does have chemicals and
additives.
Yeah, sure, there are filters, but we've known forever that, you know, tobacco causes lung cancer and emphysema and other sort of breathing problems.
Here's a fun fact for you, because I used to be a smoker.
For a long time. How long
time
did you smoke?
20 years. A pack and a half a day.
Yeah.
And when I smoked, you'd have Marlboro Lights, Marlboro Mediums, and Marlboro Reds.
Right.
And the way they sold it to you, that was Marlboro Lights weren't as bad as Marlboro Mediums, but Marlboro Mediums weren't as bad as Marlboro Reds. And so there was
Reds were the worst.
Yeah, the
okay.
Reds. And so there were, but now you can't go in and buy cigarettes and say I want lights. That's not an option anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No,
how
yeah,
come?
No. Now they're just different colors. And so because lights, not a real thing.
So they got
you're
busted
not,
on
yeah,
selling.
Yeah,
selling
you're,
a
you're
lie.
Not buying a diet yeah. cigarette. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was
this is
say,
all just
it,
bad.
It
for
sounds
you.
Like yeah,
yeah.
They
but it was all marketing.
Should, yeah.
And you know, and you
right.
want to talk about some of the best marketers in the world?
Oh yeah,
it's alcohol and tobacco.
Definitely,
I mean, those guys are yeah, they're
you,
making their money.
If you listen to them only,
yeah.
you would only be smoking and drinking.
Yeah, we would be smoking cigarettes, running marathons, playing beach volleyball with chicks in bikinis.
Right. And that's not what you did for 20
no.
years, I don't think. Yeah,
no.
yeah. Never. They lied.
They
Can
did.
You believe it?
They did.
Yeah, they lied. Well, guess who else is lying?
Who?
Everybody who smokes marijuana.
Okay.
Okay. I realize that it may be different sorts of bad, but they're actually finding that it is outpacing, the damage it does to your lungs is outpacing
cigarettes.
Tobacco smokers. And one theory is, and this is just a theory, they don't fully understand why we're seeing such high levels of damage in pot smoker lungs. But, and apparently the kids don't say pot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? You're up on all the
weed,
kid.
Is it dank? Weed?
Dank? I don't know. Okay. But it's how it's smoked might be part of the reason. So with cigarettes, it's sort of breathe in, breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you hold it in a little bit.
But you're not really supposed to. It's supposed to be more of a breath.
Yeah. You know more about this than me.
Yeah.
So what's the difference in how you smoke a cigarette versus how you smoke marijuana?
Well,
method.
A cigarette was more of a breath. Like,
right.
When
just
you smoke
in and
weed,
out, right?
You're supposed to hold it.
Yeah. You force it down. You pressure.
You hold it.
And how long do you hold it?
I don't know.
As long as you can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like you've done that before.
No.
Well, at least you know what you're talking about. You probably watch TV.
I watched a lot of Cheech and Chong growing up. Yeah.
So the thought is that pushing it into the lungs and holding pressure down actually causes the little bits of tissue and stuff in your lungs to deteriorate faster.
Well, you smoke it different.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Sam, we've all seen Pineapple Express. So anyway, that I thought was interesting because I get a little tired, or maybe a lot tired is more accurate, of hearing people talk about how marijuana is this miracle thing and it's good for everybody and we should all be doing it.
And I think
the reality is that in some ways it is worse than smoking cigarettes, because I have heard for years from everybody, including some professionals, that smoking weed is better for you than smoking cigarettes. And now we're finding that's actually not the case.
Well, then that's going to bring us to our next conversation topic is smoking weed for chronic pain. Now, mm-hmm. now here's where this is going to get dicey, because yes, I do believe that it would help you with your chronic pain. Do I think marijuana is probably better for you than opioids? Yes. Is there other alternatives out there or whatever? But I always have a problem with anybody who uses a blanket statement.
Right.
Where they go, this is better. No, yeah. I think every individual in every situation is different. And you've got to figure out what's going to be the best for you. It's much like recovery. What's going to work for you and best for your lifestyle? And all of them can be abused, and all of them are.
Right, right. No, they can be. They are abused. And some of it's what your body brings to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
what your own metabolism brings to the mix of the substance that you're using.
Everybody processes it different. I mean, I could sit down with five different guys and all have five shots in front of us, and it is going to act different in all of our bodies.
Yeah.
And it's not like the one guy could take five shots and you wouldn't even know he had five shots.
Right.
Another person could take five shots and you're going to be picking them up off the floor all night.
Some of that's physiology. Some of that's also psychology. Like, if you want to have a good time, if you're out to have a good time, it's weirdly that alcohol hits you in a different way. Whereas somebody who's had a really hard day and maybe they're feeling down, it's going to hit them in a different way. And some people have built a tolerance mm-hmm. over years, and other people don't. And some people's metabolism is faster, and that alcohol starts flowing.
I love people go, it's not a science. Well, no, actually, it is a science.
It is a science.
That's exactly
science.
What it is.
Well, let's talk
it's
real quick.
Science.
Let's talk quick about this little. It's more of a blip on is cannabinoid use based medicines, are they good for pain? Right?
Are they?
So that's the question. And I'll just tell you, in the world of research, the ultimate thing we're usually looking for is multiple double-blind studies of something,
mm-hmm.
meaning that we have a bunch of different studies, and double-blind means that it's the real scientific method where we're testing things in a way that the researchers aren't sure what they're testing. So you have kind of this blind outcome, and we can trust the outcome.
The results are what the results are,
right,
not because of anything
influenced
else.
By somebody's opinion as much. But prior to that, questions start getting answered, especially anything that has to do with social science, which drug use does.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, most of our lives, there wasn't any really good research on marijuana because it was illegal. And the research was limited. And now that it's legalized in many states, one of the positive things about that is that most research universities have the opportunity to get grants and do real studies on marijuana. But this, so what happens then is the questions start getting answered and people start coming up with preliminary data and they're like, you know, this looks a little strange or this looks like this. And so they start suggesting the double blind scientific studies happening. So this is one of those studies that's suggesting we need further research. Okay.
Okay.
So I just want to be clear about that. This is not a definitive thing, but what they're saying here is that the interest in using marijuana for pain has far outpaced our information about using marijuana for pain. So everybody's like, hey, let's do that. And I think some of that is because of the opioid epidemic. And we've realized how harmful and addictive and how actually using opioids over time increases pain receptors in the brain, which is crazy if you think about that. It's your brain is saying, you know, I'm going to increase pain just so you give me more opioids.
Yeah.
So people have been scrambling for alternatives. We do know that meditation and mindfulness are as effective in many ways. We're going to talk more about that in some future sessions for pain management. But guess what? It's hard work.
Yeah.
That you just, you're not, that you, it's like
it's not a turnkey operation.
It's like, hey, if you want to get, you know, big pecs, it's going to take a while. You're not going to get that just this weekend going to the gym, right?
Right.
And so you got to work at it. And same thing. So that's not always a real great option for people because they want pain management now, which is understandable.
What it sounds like is with the information that we've got from the past in opioids and the new information coming out about cannabis, the pendulum has swung way over to the other side because they go, well, this one, we know all the bad stuff that happens.
Yeah.
So this one seems to be like
less problematic. And maybe, you know, it's more, seems more natural, right?
But we don't have the research on that like we did then. So it's.
Guess what we do know?
What?
The CBD part of it is bunk. Like they're saying here right now for pain management, anything, you know, how there's all the CBD stuff everywhere, the oils and the sandwiches. I don't know what they have, but they've got CBD stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't do anything for pain.
You are killing a bunch of housewives right now who just started a CBD company.
I know.
And you're going to have people that are writing.
It may do other things.
Oh, man.
But it does
not. That is Dr. Matt Woolley at projectrecovery.com.
It may do other things. But as far as pain management, nope. And so the most studied aspect of marijuana is THC, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that THC promotes better sleep, increases your appetite, gives you that high feeling.
Euphoric.
And guess what the technical term is? Influences anxiety. Why don't they say reduces anxiety? Why do they say influences anxiety?
Because I think it promotes anxiety.
It can go either way. Right.
Oh.
Right. So, and it can go either way on either time you use it. So that's another thing that's problematic about this is some people say, well, I don't use it for pain management. I use it for anxiety management. And I felt better when I've taken it. I was like, well, you got sleepy and you probably got a little munchy and you felt that euphoric feeling. But the reality is eventually you're going to have what's called a paradoxical effect. You're going to get paranoid and anxious as heck.
Why do I feel like I'm sitting on the couch in your front room and you're telling me that woes about drugs?
That's what I'm telling you.
No, but I think it's important to have this information because so many people blindly accept it because whatever they read in the headlines or a neighbor or a friend.
Everybody wants magic in life.
Yeah, they want that magic pill, that special pill that's going to take it all away, which is one of the things that led so many people into their addiction because they were uncomfortable in their own skin or they had anxiety or they had trauma.
We want a quick fix.
Yes.
We want magic. Magic is awesome. I love stories about magic. I love movies about magic. I would love to have magical cures of things in my life. I don't think human beings will ever stop hoping and wanting for that. The reality is anything you put into your body has an effect and multiple effects. Even things like aspirin can have multiple side effects on you that you don't plan to have happen.
Well, when you think about all the drugs that we are currently using, when they were first introduced, they were usually introduced for something rather than what we're using for.
Right.
Like
right.
Viagra or,
Prozac or lots of different things. And the truth is, we should study them. I'm not anti-marijuana as much as I am pro-science. Yeah. Does that make sense?
100%.
Like, if we can prove that elements of marijuana, like THC or CBD or some of the other cannabinoid aspects to it, do something healthy and positive for us, I think that's great. We ought to study that and use it in the way that we know it works. The problem is, so many people have been so interested in getting benefit, whether it's pain management, anxiety management, whatever. They like that euphoric feeling that they get from marijuana. It seems more natural, and I understand the temptation to want to say it does everything.
I'm not saying the guy who sold you the weed out of the back of his VW van was lying to you, but you might want to get a second opinion.
Chances are high. High, no pun intended. But the reality is, even in a store now, where we in Utah, you can get a
medical
card, and you can go buy it. And even then, we don't really know all of the things, because the desire has outpaced the science, and the science is starting to catch up. Science takes a while, and we're finally learning kind of what it does and doesn't do. So I would say stay tuned, but don't buy the idea hook, line, and sinker that marijuana or THC or CBD is going to do everything that it's advertised. And in fact, in some cases, you might end up with higher risk for lung disease, emphysema, things like that.
Anxiety.
And anxiety. So I have talked to so many people, many, many, many people personally, and seen the research that shows if you smoke chronically, eventually it's going to flip on you and you're going to have a really bad experience. And so there are probably other ways. They're a little harder, called therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, meditation, other more natural ways to affect your body that you're not putting something in there. So I guess it is a plug for that. And then final, I know Josh is saying we got to go, but here's the thing. The last thing is, did you know, we'll ask Josh this because he knows so much stuff.
Pull your mic over,
buddy.
He's
a smart guy. Josh, would you say that drinking alcohol, just generally alcohol, it increases the risk for cancer, decreases the risk for cancer, or it's the same?
I'm going to say increase, only because alcohol is not, it's not a natural thing that we should be putting in our body, and especially the way
smart.
We overconsume.
And see, I would have said no, because yeah. Most people will tell you a glass of wine is good for the heart.
So right
the body.
Here, less than a third of Americans were aware that cancer risk is higher if you drink alcohol. Less than a third of people knew that.
Yeah, I didn't.
And a lot of people have heard that, you know, some types of alcohol, like the found in red wine and things, might
the
be healthy.
Antioxidants, man.
Antioxidants, right? You can get those in cranberry juice, but whatever. Some people actually think it decreases the risk of cancer because they've misunderstood the things they've heard. But in fact, it doesn't matter what kind of alcohol you're drinking, all of them increase your risk for cancer. So I actually hadn't seen that broken down like that before, and it was just kind of interesting to me that they broke it down by beer, wine, and spirits. All three increase your risk for cancer, and that less than a third, so less than 30% of us Americans even knew that.
Well, thanks for the information, Dr. Buzzkill. I mean, Dr. Woolley.
A buzzkill, but unless you're about science, then that was exciting.
That was exciting. And we want to say thank you for stopping by and listening to us on another episode of Project Recovery. Have a great day. We love you and we mean it. In case you forgot, Project Recovery is what?
It's a KSL podcast.
For now.
Of this program are for informational purposes only. The program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician, licensed therapist, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this program. KSL does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the program. Reliance on any information provided on the program is solely at your own risk.